So let me ask you something sincerely. Have you ever said this, or perhaps thought it, that that's just the way I am? I've always struggled with this part of my life, and I just can't change that part of myself. You know, Paul had something along those lines. And maybe it's something like impatience, or it could be anger or anxiety or negative thinking or an addiction. It could be something from your past that still sort of haunts you, some kind of trauma. But here's the real question. What if it's not true? What if you're not stuck? What if God actually designed your brain to change, to adapt? Well, Romans 12, verse 2 reads, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that's not a suggestion. That's a command. And we know that God does not give impossible commands. Why would Scripture, inspired Scripture, or God ask us to do something that's impossible? The answer is that God designed the human brain for adaptation to change. And through consistent, intentional thinking and living, we can truly rewire our minds, improving our relationship with God, with others, with our spouses, our family, and brethren, and even ourselves. Because God designed the human brain to adapt and to be wired for whatever you focus on. My first point is that God expects growth, not stagnation. God never intended us to stay the same. That is, day to day, week to week, year to year. We're intended to mature, to evolve. We're not called to just manage our sin or to root it out and eliminate it. We're not called to tolerate weaknesses. We're supposed to turn those into strengths. And we're not called to stay stuck in negative patterns or negative cycles of sin. We're called to transform, as Romans commands us. And renewing the mind, it means replacing old patterns with new ones. Replacing old patterns to build new ones. You could say we put out the leavened bread this past week and replaced it with what? Unleavened bread. You replace one with the other one. But the idea is to choose a new direction. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 reads, "We're to bring every thought into captivity." Now, you can't control every thought you have. We know that. But that scripture implies control, not helplessness, not learned helplessness, and not victimhood, but taking responsibilities for our actions, which start where? It starts in the mind. So again, you can't control every thought that pops in your mind, but you can control how far it goes. You can control where it goes if you dwell on it, if you feed it, if you nurture it, if you give it space to flourish and develop. You've heard the expression, you've got like the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other one. Who are you going to listen to? Proverbs 23, verse 7 reads, "As he thinks in his heart, so he is. As he thinks in his heart, so he is." We know that your thinking shapes your identity. And this isn't just an ancient, irrelevant Bible verse. It's very relevant, and it's reinforced through modern science and psychology. So your body, your career, your family, your relationships, even your environment, your room, your yard, your home is all a reflection of your mind, which is a result of whatever neural pathways you're building. Joshua 1 verse 8 reads, "Meditate on it day and night." Meditate on it day and night. That calls for repetition on God's word. So repetition leads to transformation. Dwelling on positive things leads to positive transformation in your life. I could say this is my second point is this isn't just theory. This is actually how the brain works. It's called neuroplasticity. Brian, if you could pull up the PDF of those three slides. Neuroplasticity. I've got three slides there to show neuroplasticity. But anyway, your brain forms new connections or synapses So this is actually a picture of a London taxi cab driver. So I'll back up a little bit. So has anyone been to London? Raise your hand. If you've taken a black cab in London. So the cab drivers in London, if you've been, they're pretty amazing. They don't need a GPS or their cell phone. They know where to go. So they have to actually study what's called the knowledge. The knowledge is it's an exam or it's a course they have to take where they have to memorize essentially around Metro London 25,000 streets with 20,000 landmarks, meaning government buildings, hotels, you name it. And they have to recall it in an oral exam. If someone asks a question, they have to be able to say, well, you start off by the Queen's Corner, you go down First Street, hang a left, and you have to basically find the fastest way there. And what they found is their brain actually grows. Harvard and others have done studies on them from a neuroscientific standpoint. They're four times less likely to develop Alzheimer's because their hippocampus and other parts of the brain are developed larger. So, as a side note, I would say, I mean, I think it's amazing how these guys know where to go. They've got the spatial, their brain is basically a giant map. And you think, how's that possible? 25,000 streets, 20,000 landmarks. Compare that to the Bible. The Bible has 31,000 verses. And how many people have memorized the whole Bible in the whole world? It's allegedly roughly less than 2,000. And there's roughly 18,000 taxi cab drivers. So I don't know which is harder. I don't think I'm capable of either one. But it's the point is that if memorizing, their brains physically change through repetition and grow. If you can go to the next slide, I don't know if it's going to show. You can't see it. but they can reprogram their brain and stay more active. If memorizing streets can reshape the brain, what do you think dwelling on anger does versus gratitude, or dwelling on fear versus faith? You're going to grow these various parts of your brain based on what you focus on. And that's when Romans 12:2 comes into play. Again, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So just so you kind of know a little bit of what I'm talking about, I'll play like a short video. Can you play the first video? The idea is that next video. Yeah, they look better at home on a... It almost looks like if you've been into a field where deer travel, there's deer trails, and they just sort of go every different direction. The more they walk in that section, it beats down the grass. It makes pathways, and your brain is doing the same thing. But the idea is, whatever you repeat, whether it's like a sport or reading, you're reinforcing those pathways. And the brain weakens with unused neural pathways. So in simple terms, what you repeat, you become. So I could use experts' examples like Andrew Huberman. Anyone listen to Andrew Huberman? He's a neuroscientist. He says children change easily. For example, we all know children can learn a second language pretty quickly. Adults have a much harder time. Children can learn the piano. Try picking up a new instrument. I tried picking up the violin when I was about 30 years old. It was a disaster. It's a very difficult instrument to play, and I realized I should have started when I was 10, so I gave up. So I figured I'd stick to the piano. But adults can still change. It just requires more effort and repetition, whether it's a language or piano or sport. It's also harder to change your character and your integrity and behavior as an adult. I picked up kite surfing a couple of years ago. I was learning in the Caribbean. And that's a difficult sport to just, I think, pick up. The board is relatively easy on the ocean, but the kite, it's a quite large kite, and it's I don't know, 40, 50 feet up in the sky, 60 feet. And you're going to take on a lot of water in the face, and you're going to crash a lot, you know, learning to kite surf. But it's really, everything's happening in your brain. It's not your hands and your feet and your eyes. It's all happening in the brain. So it took me a few days before I could start, you know, actually getting up and traveling across the water. But So when God says renew your mind, he's literally telling us to do something the brain was designed to do. And that's not just self-help psychology. It's God-designed biology. And it's really incredible. My third point is that if Romans 12:2 is the command, then Philippians 4:8 is the blueprint. Philippians 4:8 reads, "Whatever is true, pure, lovely, think on these things." And that's not just encouragement, that's instruction. That's what we're instructed to do. If you're going through a trial or you're grieving the loss of a loved one or whatever the issue may be, apply Philippians 4 verse 8. If you're trying to overcome an addiction, apply Philippians 4 verse 8. Whatever is true, pure, lovely, think on these things. If you want to change your life and, let's say, display more of the fruits of the Spirit, you must change what you repeatedly feed your brain. A friend of mine mentioned an analogy to me. Let's say you have two wolves inside you, a black wolf and a white wolf. Which one is going to grow bigger? It's going to be the one which you feed the most. Whatever you feed is going to grow inside you. And we're all different, but what we have in common is we've all developed neural pathways in our brains that need to be ignored and abandoned so they weaken. Patterns of sin. And you can't just delete a neural pathway, no more than you can delete a deer path in the grass. But if you ignore it long enough, you will eventually start to forget it. I could say, I used to play Billy Joel's Piano Man, you know, in college a lot for 10 years. I had it memorized. I didn't need any sheet music. And I quit practicing it because I was like, I know this song so well, I don't need to practice it. And now, I can't play the song. I mean, I need sheet music to play Piano Man. And that's a song I played 1,000 times. So I lost those neural pathways, and they don't connect anymore. So that's the same with, it can work the same way with forgetting trauma, forgetting poor memories, or getting sin out of your life. Don't reinforce that pathway, that neural pathway. Don't, if there are things that you want to forget, don't keep revisiting. Don't memorialize your sins. You know, cast them out and move past them. Like, who was it? I don't know if it was Dr. Oss or one of the Oss, or maybe it was Charles Grabe. He said, each Passover, you don't need to sit back and repent of everything you did 30 years ago, you know? And we all need to strengthen positive neural pathways that already exist in our brains and continue expanding and developing new neural pathways to build up and edify our walk with God. And that may be different for each of you. We all have different habits, tendencies to avoid and delete. But the common thread is we all have dead wood that we need to burn off. We all have neural pathways that need to just be ignored and die off. So you rewire your brain through a variety of means. But rebuilding a foundation is the start. And for me, personally, everything starts with sleep at this point in my life. You can laugh. I never thought about this 20 years ago. But high-quality, deep, restorative sleep, it restores brain function. Because sleep acts as you can look this up. I'm going to quote just from a general internet definition. Sleep acts as a critical consolidation phase for memory organizing, strengthening, and storing information acquired during the day. During sleep, the brain transfers memories from temporary storage, your hippocampus, to long-term storage, the neocortex. And it links new information to existing knowledge and filters important memories while discarding trivial data. And I'm sure Dr. Holliday and Dr. Austin, any teachers in the room, teach this to their students so that they know they need to be studying when they wake up, before they go to bed, and they need a good night's rest instead of staying up till 3 in the morning and cramming, because the sleep is what helps you to file that information and convert it into your memory. Otherwise, you don't retain what you've studied. I would say nutrition is part of your foundation. We all need to be eating high-quality foods, not ultra-processed junk food, because your brain runs on nutrition. Exercise. You don't have to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but your brain thrives on movement. That could be walking 3 miles a day. It could be working in a garden, cutting the grass. It doesn't have to be lifting heavy weights. How about reading Scripture and listening to Scripture? Because your faith grows by hearing, but you may retain more by reading, depending on if you're an auditory learner or visual. And then prayer and meditation. When you pray and meditate and think about what you've read or listened to afterwards, and it focuses your attention, helps you bring your brain, helps your brain file the information. It sort of reinforces the learning you just took in. I would encourage some of you to write out scriptures you want to memorize. Handwrite out scriptures. And I know that sounds crazy, but when I was in college, I had to learn, I don't know, a couple of thousand Latin words, because all the horticultural plant names are in Latin. So I would get out a spiral notebook and I'd write out, you know, Metto Sequoia Glyptostroboides. And I would write it on the page like 30, 40, 50, 60 times, and then turn the page, pick the next name. And that was the only way I could memorize these words and spell them properly. But writing them down converts them to your memory. So how about people you spend time with? That is part of the foundation, because it changes your identity. We're talking about rewiring and changing your identity. And you become the average of your five closest friends, or the five people you spend the most time with. I know I've mentioned this before, but I can't tell you how important it is. You can rise or fall in life, especially as a young man or a young woman, based on the people that you bring in your life around you. And I saw it all through high school and college. I saw a lot of my friends and acquaintances and coworkers and colleagues just go down wrong paths based on people they're spending time with. And that's never more true than who you choose to date and then who you choose to marry. Because who you choose to date, you really shouldn't be honestly dating anyone unless you're thinking, oh, I could marry this person. But who you choose to date, they can reinforce your walk with God, and they can pull you towards the church, or they can pull you out of the church, never to be seen again. So to me, this can be a salvational issue. So you want to choose someone who's bringing you closer to God, not dragging you further away, because it can destroy your life. Because whoever you're choosing to date and marry, a lot of them have already formed their neural pathways. They have their habits, and you're going to take those on. So choose wisely. You're either downloading truth or you're downloading garbage. There's no neutral. You can't do both at the same time. You're either building neural pathways that are positive for you and your family, or negative. And your brain is being built. It's changing and adapting every day based on whatever you're taking in and whatever your activity is. So you could say, I want you to think about yourself 10 years ago. Think about the way you thought, the way you reacted, the way you handled stress. Now compare that to today. Some of you are more patient, more disciplined, more faithful. Many of us are. Why? Something changed. You had to practice biblical concepts that all started in the mind. But you didn't wake up one day and just be just different. Most of you probably didn't notice changes in you, or your spouse didn't notice a change from Monday to Tuesday. But perhaps you can notice a change within a month or a year, hopefully within 5 years. So now, instead of looking back 10 years, let's look forward 5 years. Where do you want to be 5 years from now, if you're in high school or college, or you're married with kids, or you're single, or you're a widow? Where do you want to be in your walk with God? Where do you want to be in the fruits of the Spirit that you're displaying? Where do you want your faith to be? Do you want it to be stronger? Do you want to be more healthy? What are your goals? Because that person's not just going to appear randomly. The person's built thought by thought from one neural connection to the next, one neural pathway to the next, brick by brick, habit by habit, one decision to the next, one quality night's rest to the next, one workout to the next, one Bible study section to the next. So you're either becoming that person you want to be, or you're drifting away from that person. You're either gaining ground or losing ground. So my last point is that you can rewire pain, not just habits. Some people get stuck thinking that, hey, my past, it defines me too much. But that's not 100% true. We're called to make changes and leave the past behind. The brain can weaken painful patterns. It can weaken neurons, just like I forgot that Billy Joel song. It can strengthen new ones. So weaken old neural pathways and form new neural pathways. And the brain does this through a variety of ways. New experiences is largely a major one. New relationships, focusing on gratitude, forgiveness, truth. But of course, repetition of God's law and God's word, God's ways practiced in your life. And there are all types of strategies to do this, but the summation of it is you need new information and new experiences coming into your brain every day. And this is not denial, this is renewal. So in conclusion, this is not just self-help. This is how God designed you. Romans 12:2 reads, or commands us, to renew your mind. And Philippians 4:8 tells us the method, think on what is good. And we know now science confirms that your brain can change, as evidenced by the 72-year-old London taxicab driver. Your habits can change, your actions can change, and your relationships can improve. So the life you live tomorrow is being wired by what you repeatedly think about today.